And we will excuse the children for children's church. The Lord was really good yesterday. Nobody got injured, at least not injuries that we could see or knew about. Backs may be a little sore this morning, knees, hips, arms, fingers. And I lost my glasses somewhere. They're either packed in a box or they're just gone. So we'll try and do this without glasses this morning. We have a lot of colloquial terms. One of them we're going to use this morning. And we're going to look at this particular thing. We're looking at when things go south. When things go south. For our verse, it's going to be 1 Peter 4:16. 1 Peter 4:16. And Peter, addressing the church, said this: "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Have you ever had a day when you thought things were going the wrong way? You wondered what you had done to deserve this? Well, there are days when troubling things take place in a person's life. And sometimes we wonder what might be causing these problems. The first thing that comes to our minds in that kind of a situation is, what did I do wrong? And then we start thinking about the things we did that would probably not please God. And we wonder if these things had anything to do with what was happening to us in our lives. Well, let me assure you something this morning. God loves every one of you. No matter what's going on, no matter what is happening to you this morning, God still loves you. He always has loved you, and he does love you. And he's not punishing you, because Jesus bore our punishment on the cross of Calvary. So when things start going wrong, it's not punishment for something you have done. Maybe consequences, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Sometimes the proper response is to look at the situation and seek God's counsel via prayer. We all experience minor and major problems. Every one of us. You might look at a person's life and say, well, they're not having any problems. Usually the major problems are spread out, and the minor problems are easily dealt with. But what happens when all your problems are major, and they're not just a few, and they all come at one time? There are days like that, folks. There really are. At that point, you have several options. And I thought it might be good to look at it, scriptural answers to the question, what do you do when things go south? So let's look at some of the options that we have. Let's say that you have a lot of activity planned for a particular day, and it seems like everything is going the wrong way. Well, the first option is to just walk away. Give up. Let nature take its course. And we all know that that is not the correct answer. Option number two. It is for you to take the bull by the horns and try and fix things with the assets that you have. That won't work either. Because God is permitting these things to happen to you. Because he has something that he wants you to learn. This poses a question. What is God trying to teach you? What is God trying to teach you? The first thing that God wants to teach you is that you can't fix things yourself. That's been a hard lesson for me to learn. You need some help. And the place to get that is from God. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. And he wants to meet the need. But you have to be willing to accept things the way God wants them to be and the way God wants to take care of them. That leaves us option three. I like option three. Option three is you drop to your knees, literally or figuratively. If you can't drop to your knees, you sit down in a chair someplace. And you call out to God for help. 1 Peter 3:17 tells us, that's 1 Peter 3:17, for it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Is there something that I have done and this situation is the consequence of it? Hopefully the answer is no. But if you have done something, then you will need to confess it to God and seek his forgiveness and let him show you what you need to do to correct the situation. Would an apology be good? A good place to start? Should forgiveness be sought? Do you need to correct a wrong that has been done to someone? Usually, if some offense has been committed, forgiveness must be the first item of business. I find it hard to apologize without first seeking forgiveness from the individual that I've wronged. It's hard to talk through a situation with someone if they are angry with you. That has to be handled with Matthew 18. The same thing that works for the offense, Matthew 18, 15 through 16. Let me read that, Matthew 18 through 15 through 16. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him fault between thee and him alone. That can't be emphasized too strongly. Don't tell somebody else, that won't fix things. Go to the one you have offended directly and try and start working it out with him. Go and tell him the fault alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother or sister. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee two or more, that in the mouth of two or more witnesses, every word may be established. People, sometimes it is necessary to take someone with you to mitigate the situation. One thing is vitally important at this point, and I have typed it all in capital letters. Be sure that you are sincere in what you are attempting to do. Don't do it because this is what the Bible says and your heart doesn't agree with that. Be sure that when you go to someone to apologize and to restore fellowship and to deal with some kind of an offense, that you are sincere in your effort, that it's not false. You're not just going through the motions. Now, I know that it might be hard to believe that there might be a time when we do something that we didn't intend to do that has to be corrected. It happens to all of us. In that case, be sure that the situation cannot happen again. If necessary, get professional help or counsel before attempting to correct the situation or resolve the problem. Usually, the problem involves the mouth. And something that we have said. There are many things that can cause people to say things that are not meant. There are many reasons why speech may be out of control. Certain kinds of infections can cause people to say things that they do not mean. Certain kinds of infections in the blood can cause people to say things and act in ways that they do not intend to act. Sometimes certain kinds of medicine, that's some of the side effects of taking a medication, is that a person does not act normally. And in their actions, they offend unintentionally. Reaction to these medications can cause things to be uncontrolled. Mental instability may cause problems that are not even recognized by the individual. The key to resolving a situation like this is going to be forgiveness and seeking help from God. If there are any questions, get professional help to confirm that things are not what they should be. Sometimes it is a good thing to have a doctor's visit and make sure that everything is physically normal, that is mentally normal, that is the way that it should be, to reassure yourself that you're not getting a little strange, especially if you're old like I am. Will the person offended actually forgive the offense, if that's the situation? That's the most common problem that we must deal with in the church. The most common problem we have in the church, worldwide is forgiveness. People not forgiving offenses. People, we are emotional animals. We have a soul. Animals don't have. Sin or circumstance can disturb that soul and cause frustration, anger, lack of cordiality. We can lose our perspective under certain kinds of pressure. None of us know what a brother or sister is going through unless we have gone through exactly the same thing. We might think we understand what they're going through, but unless we have gone through the exact same thing, we really don't know what they've gone through and how it's affecting them. There may be some kind of pain involved that causes responses to be abrupt and lacking cordiality. We have to give the benefit of the doubt to everybody we deal with. Now, we're looking at when things go south. There are other considerations that must be taken into account. One is that all of you, myself included, have an enemy. I mentioned that in Sunday school this morning. We have an enemy. He's the enemy of every Christian. If you are a Christian this morning, he is your enemy. He is not your friend, never will be. Could he be involved in the problems? And occasionally he is. It needs to be a consideration. Remember what happened to old Job? Job had done nothing wrong. And yet, all these cascade of things came into his life. He lost his entire family. He lost all of his wealth. He lost everything but his health. And the enemy came back and wanted that too. And God gave it to a point. He couldn't take Job's life. But Job's life wasn't really much worth living at that point, if you think about it. Now, I'm just using Job as an example of what can happen to any one of us. Now, God did this in Job's life. God might do something in your life that you don't expect or think you deserve. Job didn't deserve any of the things that happened to him. But God knew how Job would react and how Job would respond. And even when his wife asked him to, you know, deny God, Job still loved God and he still acknowledged God as good. How are you going to answer or handle the problems that stack up against you? This brings us to the case of testimony as a Christian. How should, you're a Christian, you claim to be a Christian, how should a Christian respond when seemingly everything goes wrong? You know, people are watching you. People who say, okay, he says he's a Christian, let's see how what he does. May I suggest an answer out of Scripture? Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, it's difficult to get out of the flesh and into the spirit. But that's what we must do. There are times when I have to call out to God, and when I don't get a definite answer, I remember another part of a verse. And I'd like to give you that verse, share it with you in case you get to that point that it seems like God is not answering you. And you're having problems, and the problems are right now, and you need to do something with those problems right now. The first part of Psalm 46:10 is going to tell you what you can do every time and know that you are doing the will of God. Every time. Psalm 46:10 tells us, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." God is in control, and he is not going to let anything bad or detrimental happen to you without his consent. He's in control. "Be still and know that I am God." He has used that in my life so many times. God is great. He has all of the answers. He has all of the resources, too, to meet those answers. God can provide whatever you may need. And if for some reason he doesn't answer the way you think he should, then you have misjudged the situation, and you need to spend more time seeking the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. God will answer your prayer, but it may take some time. God knows that it's what's going to happen for the rest of time. There may be some things that need to take place before God answers your prayer. It's really sad that there are people that, rather than look to God and what he has said, they walk away from the situation and they never come back out of pride. They have forever lost God's will for his child, even though they are his child. People just don't understand that the failure to forgive anything causes bitterness in the heart. Failure to forgive anything causes bitterness in the heart. Now, you might not see that bitterness at first, especially in your own life, but it's going to be there. It's going to happen. Failure to forgive is like a boil or a blister. It ferments, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows inside until finally it shows on the outside. And so be sure, no matter what it is, that you forgive. And sometimes it takes a while for God to answer our prayer because he has to get everything lined up to provide what he's going to provide. Don't just misunderstand or understand that the failure to forgive anything is going to affect you. It happens every time. And that is very regrettable, but it does. If you do not forgive, you will experience bitterness. And eventually that bitterness will show. And you don't want to be known as a bitter person. Then people begin to wonder why you're bitter. And you're bitter because your pride has been hurt. Now, God wants to be a blessing to you. And if you're where you're supposed to be, He can do that for you. God made us a promise about blessings and a curse. Let me share it with you. This is an important verse. It goes way back, the Old Testament, back in the beginning. One of the books that Moses wrote, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 11. There is a blessing and a curse for God's people. Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy 11, 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Verse 28. And a curse, if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way, which I commanded you this day to go after other gods, which have not known. When you walk away from God, or from God's family, you are walking away from God, and God gets replaced with other gods. Gods that you do not even realize are a part of your life. We call them idols, and they exist in our lives. Everything depends upon God and obeying His commandments. You have a promise here in Deuteronomy 11. A promise of a blessing. And another promise of a curse if you're not willing to obey God. Now there's a verse in the New Testament. You say, well, that's the Old Testament stuff. Okay, yeah, it is. But there's also a verse in the New Testament. Or verses. Let's look at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 26. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That verse can be scary. These verses are in the Bible, not just to take up space, but to be a warning to the child of God. When a person fails to do what God's word clearly says that a person is supposed to do, that constitutes sin. No exception, no excuse. Let me say that again. When a person fails to do what God's word clearly says that a person should do, that constitutes sin. No exception, no excuse. It's clearly sin. And the only one that can do anything about it is the person who is doing the sinning. If that's you, then that person would be you. God has a plan for each one of us that is covered by His word. Now, we cannot reason our way through because we do not think or understand like God does. There's a passage in Isaiah, and again, that's Old Testament, a passage in Isaiah, where God told the Israelites about themselves and about him. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. And folks, this is true. It's always going to be true. It always is true. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now, why would anyone think that they were smarter than God? Each one of us can have a relationship with God. God wants a relationship with you. He wants a relationship with each one of us. And I guess that's what the problem is, that we want things our way, not necessarily God's way. One of the biggest problems that we have as believers or saved people is that we have a certain degree of pride. There are people who let their pride control their lives. There are times when we all let out our pride and get in trouble with God. There are times that we do that. God's word has quite a bit to say about pride. Proverbs 8:13 tells us, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy. And the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. That's God talking to us. It's obvious that God does not like pride, and if pride is going to be the rule of a person's life, they're going to have problems with God. The Bible tells us that pride causes us to experience some of the things we don't want in life. Proverbs 16:18. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride's an unruly, ugly emotion in a person's life. And the Bible has quite a lot to say about it. Proverbs 29:22-23. An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride gets us in trouble. Humility gets us out. Our pride is actually a sin, and God is repulsed by pride, particularly in an individual. God gives us a reason that he does not want like our pride or to have pride in our lives. 1 John 2:15-16, New Testament, 1 John 2:15-16. We are told, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But let's add verse 16 to that. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. There are a lot of things the scriptures deal with, and one of them that it deals with is pride. It's never considered to be good in the light of the Bible, and yet we all have a problem with pride. So what are we supposed to do when things go south? My first wife and I used to get excited when God would provide extra finances because we knew that God was going to bring something into our life where we would need them, particularly when we were on the mission field. God is molding all of us to be like Jesus. He challenges us to help us conform to his word. Didn't John tell us that Jesus was the Word in the beginning? John 1:1 was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Not anything was made that was made without him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's talking about Jesus. The Jesus that we have trusted. So God's going to attempt to change you into the image of Jesus Christ. You will not look like him, but you will begin to act like him. Oh, you won't be perfect, but you will be different. You will not be your old self, but you will be useful to God as one of his children. Your vocabulary may be different. Your graciousness may show. You will be more giving and loving. God does that by bringing in problems and challenges to your life. Some of the changes will be interpersonal. Some may be financial. Some may be physical. Might make you sick. But all will be part of God's plan for you. How you respond will depend upon your spiritual maturity. We have to understand that there are people that don't mature like God wants them to. And they don't react like God wants them to. There's nothing we can do to change that, but we can always pray for them. Paul addressed this change in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4:22-24, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The old man is you before salvation. The new man is you after salvation. The change takes place in your mind, in the way you approach things. Even your thinking is new. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and he will help you to see things the way that Jesus wants you to see them. It's really sad and unfortunate when a person is unwilling to change to please God. The change is part of being born again. When things go south, we will learn to turn immediately to Jesus for help. Now, it may take a minute or two to figure it out, what you should do. But the Holy Spirit in you will direct your prayer to God for help. That is what the Bible tells us that he will do in Romans 8:26-27. Romans 8:26-27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now that fact that the Holy Spirit's going to make intercession for you should make you glad, because there is someone else making intercession for you. Also, the epistle to the Hebrews tells us about the work of Jesus since he has gone to heaven. Hebrews 7:24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's making intercession for you right now. In everything going on in your life, Jesus is interceding right now. You have two people making intercession. You have the Holy Spirit, part of the Godhead. You have Jesus Christ, part of the Godhead. So the lesson this morning is, when you think that things are going south, don't get upset. God is working to make you more like Jesus, and he has everything you need to come through the difficulty. And Jesus and the Holy Spirit are making intercession in your behalf. They will never fail you. They will never fail you. Father, what a wonderful world you have created. And yet, Father, what a difficult world we have and live in. Yes, Father, we understand we all have a certain amount of pride. Help each one of us to deal with that. And then, Father, help us to submit to you, to surrender our will to your will. And, Father, lead us through this land according to your will and your purpose. Help each one of us accomplish the purpose that you have given us. And, Father, we will praise you for what you do, because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.